Episode 20, Rated Anime Podcast for NerdAppropriate.com.
Looks like
doing a new little setup, trying this out.
Looking good.
We might do some new adjustments as we go, get a better camera and things like that. Not today.
You built this set with our ad click dollars, right?
Yeah. It's all came from the ad click money.
Let's take a tour of the new set, everybody.
All right.
There's a monitor with our logo on it.
Okay, cool.
Tour of the new set.
This is my desk.
This is a desk.
Yeah.
And we have computers.
There's a Spider-Man action figure.
Excellent.
I don't even know if they can...
Yeah, you can't really see it.
There he is.
There he is.
Look at that.
He's a red and blue blur.
Yeah.
In the corner.
And that's pretty much all the new stuff.
And now that we've lost all of our viewers, let's go ahead. man. So, it's been a week, right?
Yeah.
The world's trying to destroy Florida right now with rain and hail and wind.
Work was freaking crazy because half of our county in Seminole County, school got canceled.
Yeah.
All the kids got to go home. Like Lyman
How's
High
half
School.
A county get canceled?
It just depended on essentially like the severity. If there was like a tornado warning pretty much at the school,
right,
you got to go home. Ours, we were under like severe watch all day, but they kept holding the bell, so I had some kids for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then they're like, you need to turn everything off. You can't turn your TV on, your projector, like, so I had like one light on, and I'm like, just color for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I just kind of sat there. And
what do we do?
Yeah, what do we do? I'm like, do whatever you want. Play on your phones. So they're like, this is heaven. We love it. So it was interesting.
So you turned into just a babysitter kind of for a few hours?
Yes, I did. And I actually didn't mind today because I didn't feel like doing my job.
Not too bad.
Yeah.
What about you, gents?
I worked from home because of the same reason. I got a text from my boss at 7 a.m. that was like, there's tornado warnings all over UCF. Don't bother coming in. I was like, all right, sure.
Best message ever.
So I still had to work, but I just did it from here. And then at 5 o'clock, I all of a sudden decided I was going to change around how the office was and try this out. I realized, because the thing is, and I've made the joke to Scott, I basically ignore this room for a week at a time, and then it's like, Thursday at 5:30, I get home and I clean as much of this as I can before we have to come in here.
Yeah.
And then every other day of the week, I just like dump papers on my desk, and that's like all I don't use it at all.
Yeah.
It's not bad for a couple hours worth of work.
Yeah, it was about an hour and a half of trying to get ready. So the camera can't see over here where all of the shit that I just threw onto a table to get it out of the way, but it works, you
know?
Looking
good.
Nice.
It works.
Definitely looking good.
So yeah.
So we're at episode 20.
20.
That is a bit of a milestone, right?
I would think.
Would you say that?
I think so.
We are now out of the teens.
Did we get diamonds on this anniversary? Is that the...
I don't know.
20 is the diamond anniversary? Is that... No.
Sure.
I have no idea.
Sure. Scott?
Sure. Just making stuff up.
Sure we do.
I have no
idea. Diamond anniversary. It's pretty exciting, though. I mean, it's been it's been a smooth haul, though. There haven't been any, like, major, you know, horrible...
Well, I mean, none of us hang out anymore. We all hate each other entirely, but
yes.
It's been good otherwise.
That's not true. We played Munchkin on Sunday.
You
guys did. It was awesome.
Yeah. Well, we played with your wife. By proxy, you were there.
Yeah. Yes.
I like that Ash is drinking Rockstar and Scuzz drinking Perrier.
I'm drinking Perrier. Yes.
Back on the sauce.
Dinner of champions.
You did come off for a week, though. You made it for a week.
10 days, no caffeine. That's why.
Are you down to how many rock stars is this today?
This is my second one.
Oh, you're breaking your rule already.
Well, yeah, because this is podcast night. I gave myself a little, need a little pep, a little pizzazz, as they say.
Well, let's get into it. Let's get into the news. We've got a couple things, right?
Yeah.
I didn't, let's give me a moment, let's skip the first one and move on to number two if we could.
Alright, so, I actually read a little bit about this, so I'll start it off and you guys know more about it than me, but, Amazon is introducing, or either just introduced,
it came out this week,
the Cloud Music Player, and, everyone that listens to this should probably know what the Cloud is. The Cloud is, pretty much...
It's the internet.
Virtual hard drive.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like a storage of hard drives that are there. So
Yeah. So explain to me, if you will, what is Amazon's Cloud Music Player all about?
Why would I want to use it?
Me? Okay, so it actually contacted Amazon, too, about something, so I can add in a little I know this and no one else does.
I think you, with your Zune, Rage for Mac computers probably have explored these issues.
Right, so more. I have an account with Grooveshark. I have an account with Mog. I had an account with Lala. I buy Amazon MP3s. I have a Zune. I have many musical options. I hate iTunes with a passion. It's just, I think it's a clunky piece of software that's bloated itself into oblivion, essentially.
It kind of has.
I think it could be good. You know, I don't think it's necessarily a bad piece of software. It's just right now they just keep adding shit to it, which is not like Apple, so it's kind of weird. But what Amazon kind of jumped ahead of everyone and did was that they said, all right, starting now, any music that you had that you buy from us through our MP3 store will immediately go into what's our Amazon Cloud account, and we'll just store it for you online. You have access to it at any time from anywhere, and you can use it, you know. And we're going to give you 2 free gigs of storage in our Cloud Drive, which they've been running this service called Cloud Drive for a while, and now they're just giving you 2 gigs. And then they ran another special this week that says if you buy any album from Amazon MP3 right now, they'll give you 20 gigs of storage in their Cloud Drive.
For 1 year, right?
Or 20 gig, I think, is for 1 year, and then it might transition into something else, mm-hmm. right? Your paid account. I mean, honestly, there's so many different cloud services. If you don't have one, this is a really good opportunity. Their Cloud Drive is really cheap. It's not expensive. Like, 20 gigs will run you maybe a couple bucks a month, tops.
Mm-hmm.
You know, works really well. I've downloaded a couple albums. I actually uploaded a bunch of music last night to see how it would go. The great thing for me and for Scott, and not for you, is there is an Amazon MP3 player built into Android that syncs up with your cloud automatically.
Oh, okay.
So any music you've downloaded to Amazon or any music you buy on Amazon instantly sync to your phone. You can listen to it. You can download it straight to your device that you're on if you want. Like if I was going to get on a plane, I was like, oh, man, I want to listen to this album. I already own it. Mm-hmm. I could go up there, just download it to my device, and then listen to it on an airplane while I'm flying.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's got to have a persistent connection, obviously, to get to your music. The question I had that I wrote Amazon about, because I actually bought a bunch of MP3s from them previous, is do I have to re-upload those songs? Or since they already know that I own it, which they do, because you can go check my account, it's got all my MP3 albums.
Yeah.
Will they just transition that into the cloud for me?
Yeah.
They wrote me back yesterday, and the answer was no. We will not transition any music into the cloud for you. It does not count as your free storage. Anything you've bought previous, you have to upload just like you would upload anything else. And it is done a certain way. I'll tell you why before you even ask the question.
Okay.
It's licensing. I'm willing to bet.
Sure,
it's completely,
I mean, like,
licensing.
They can't go retro, like,
yeah.
do things with licenses.
Although I read on Engadget that they necessarily haven't really figured out licensing yet with everybody.
Yeah. See, how can you? And the question I had for you also was, you know, if I just upload like a random mismanaged collection of MP3s, like, do they care? Does it matter if all my files are just like CX2B, and it's like Chris
they're doing some kind of matching, because when I went to upload mine, they checked what I already had and matched against it, and then only uploaded the new stuff. So they are doing some kind of verification of the music you're uploading.
So you wouldn't be able to upload duplicates.
Yeah, it doesn't store like multiple of the same file. It'll just say like, sorry, this file's already up there. We don't need to upload it.
Okay.
Which is good and bad, because the good thing is you could just select your entire drive and throw it up there if you wanted to, your music folder,
mm-hmm.
and it'll sit there and cycle through it and be like, these are all duplicates, and just put up what you need.
Well, that's cool.
What I don't know, and I haven't tried yet, although it looked like it was going to, because it was getting ready to upload podcast files that I had. What's up?
I just went offline.
Oh. Some podcast files that I had, it looked like it was getting ready to upload those without an issue. So
huh.
It doesn't seem like it has to be in their Amazon like catalog.
Interesting.
And the thing about the cloud drive is you can upload anything. So you can upload pictures and videos, whatever you want to have up there to store.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a cool little service. I'm interested to see. It's kind of shocking Amazon beat they came out of nowhere literally and just were like, oh, hey, guess what? Here's this thing we've been waiting for. And I was talking to Bob Alien, actually, about this. We were talking about it a little bit, and I said, I think the next step is they're going to undercut everybody and put out a cheap tablet. Yeah, I don't... He's asking about subscription. I still don't think they're going to do a subscription. It's Bob Alien. but I think what they're doing is basically creating all of these apps. They just came out with their own app store. They've got the Amazon MP3 app, you know, their online shop and all that kind of stuff. And I think they're getting ready to be like, oh, and here's a cheap device you can do it all on. And it's just Wi-Fi only. It's just a tablet or you know, like their Kindle, essentially, but mm-hmm. with color screen and games and things like that.
Why do you think they're doing this?
Why?
Yeah.
I think Amazon views Apple and Google as direct competitors.
So just trying to...
I don't think they look at themselves as strictly a marketer. I think they look at themselves as a service.
Or at least they want to be, you know. I mean, they're a service, but I think you wouldn't... The majority of the population that's not, like, as tech-savvy as you guys, if you were, say, like, where would you get your MP3s? They're not going to say Amazon. Like, you know, a lot of people still, like, this is where I get my books. Like, they don't really... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
Whereas they know what iTunes is, but they don't know that Amazon necessarily deals with MP3s.
Yeah. Ryan's talking about the subscription service. It's entirely possible. There's just a lot that goes into that licensing, and it's a whole other beast. And if they didn't figure out their licensing even for the cloud storage... So for people that don't know, the way licensing works is... Amazon licenses your music to sell it to you as a one-time purchase.
Yeah.
And then you can listen to it all you want because you own it on your device. But when they start going like, oh, here, we'll store your MP3. You can listen to it anywhere you want at any time. It starts looking like a streaming service, and they're probably paying streaming rights on top of sales rights.
Interesting.
It's interesting because movies are different. Like, if you buy something from Amazon Video On Demand, you can... Mm-hmm. You just buy it, and then anytime you want, you go to their website, and you just watch everything you purchase. Likewise, you could download that same media to, like, I think, like, one or two computers.
I think you get two computers, and then you can watch on, like, unlimited devices, like Roku or whatever will stream
for
it.
For whatever reason, they're stingier with the music, you know?
Well, it's not them, it's the studios.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the studios are just, like, shitty with dealing with licensing. They're really awful at it, so we'll see, you know? I don't know. I think it's an awesome service.
Well,
do you have any thoughts, Scott? I know you're very pro Amazon.
I haven't
MP3.
I haven't used it, and
the uploader is awesome. It works really well.
I guess I don't yet see the utility of using it because I still like I carry a Zune with me, so I have all my music with me.
You will see the utility the day that you're like. To me, I love it because I want to listen to music at work sometimes, and bringing my Zune with me does nothing. I'd have to plug it in separately. I can't plug it into my computer.
Yeah, I mean, do I need to?
I mean, like, you know.
I guess there's nothing personal about uploading your entire music collection to Amazon, but...
No.
I mean, what if they... I mean, are they ever going to decide, like, oh, you can't have
anymore? You should have it on your... Well, no, first of all, they can't. I mean, you bought it. If they did that, you'd go after
it. I guess it's no difference than having your email in the cloud. It's just another thing that now moves to the cloud, you know?
Like, none of that's on my phone.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
And it just immediately came up.
That's cool.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's kind of awesome. I don't know.
Very cool. You think, like, this sort of, with bandwidth increasing the way it is,
right.
Do you think eventually all there's going to be is the cloud? Do you think people are going to give a
Google
shit
thinks.
About hardware? I don't know. Because I don't think it's necessarily 100% reliable all the time. Like, you know, I don't want to have to rely on...
But it's as reliable as a hard drive in your computer.
But I'm saying, like, okay, we'll say, for instance, like, you and I are at a convention. This is a perfect segue. We're at a convention, right? And our reception sucks. We have no internet access. We have no 3G. We have no 4G. We have no edge network. But I really fucking want to listen to a song, and I can't get onto any sort of network. Then I don't have access to my music, whereas if we're on a hard drive, I fucking would. You know what I mean? I know that situation's not really
well. I mean, I think that the thing is this. You know, like this is what everybody's aiming at now.
Yeah.
So that convention is such not the norm. I would say most of the time you're going to have at least 3G while you're walking around, and now they're saying 4G, which is faster than you know half the cable connections most of us have.
Yeah.
I don't know. I am halfway there and totally okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty close. Like, there's not much I do that I have to... I have my music here because I have something like 200 gigs of music, and that's just a ridiculous amount down in the cloud.
There was only... I mean, based on what you were saying, I remember, like, okay, we've been having these storms, you know, so yesterday we had intermittent, like, internet connectivity, right? So
did you
have
your phone the whole time?
No, but what I was going to say was that we were like, well, the internet's out, we'll just watch TV. Oh, no, wait, like, all of our TV comes from the internet now.
Right, yeah.
So it's like, now we have nothing to watch. You know, not that we'd be able to use our DVR either, because that thing, like, doesn't work when cable goes out, but, you know, it was just weird because we were like, oh, I guess now we have to watch a disc. You know, like, something we like haven't done in forever, you know?
Ryan said we just need to get rid of storms and then we'll be fine.
Oh, yeah. As long as our, you know.
We're pretty much the only state with storms like we have storms.
Yeah, yeah. And this what we're going through right now is just like the beginning of summer.
It's kind
of
rare though. Usually, just rains for like an hour at a time. Like,
well, this is nasty. Yeah, I don't know what's going on here, but it's something.
A demon's
fall. So, speaking of conventions,
yes,
Ash, we went to, or not we, you and me, but you. I think you wrote this down, right? We all went to MegaCon.
I wrote that.
Oh.
Yeah, Scott wrote the MegaCon. I was going to do a write-up, but you know what? I was kind of feeling like a little bit lobotomized that day, so I didn't really... I don't say I didn't enjoy it. I just didn't enjoy it as much as I used to enjoy it. So I kind of want to hear your guys' opinions on it, and then I'll kind of tell how I felt, because I don't want to drag you guys down.
Well, at MegaCon, I'm like a total outsider, you know, because I don't read a lot of comics. And
right.
I don't watch anime, like, I don't read manga books or whatever, so like, I have no idea what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, I recognize these people as, like, a different group of nerds, but, like, I can appreciate their passion for the things that they like, but to me, I'm just more of, like, an observer, and I'm just kind of walking around looking at the costumes, just kind of, like, taking in the stuff that people are selling, and it's just, like, I don't know, I go more... just out of curiosity than I do out of, like, a passion for any one particular thing that's at this particular convention.
Right.
Yeah, MegaCon has become, I mean, it's always been, okay, so for those that don't know or maybe listening to this and have no idea what MegaCon is, it's the Southeast's biggest comic book convention. And by Southeast, pretty much...
Atlanta doesn't do any comics?
Not really. Not in any big...
Because they have Dragon Con, but they don't do...
Dragon Con's more like fantasy.
Yeah, yeah.
So MegaCon is the biggest one in the Southeast. And that, you know, and it's a pretty large convention, but it does cater pretty much specifically to comic books and anime.
Mm-hmm.
My problem with it, just to kind of dive right in and just be the bad guy, is that it's so poorly programmed. There's so little to actually do,
mm-hmm.
and there's no sort of actual sponsorship from anyone you would have any desire to see. So, like, essentially all of, like, the floor, okay? The floor, every convention has a floor. The floor is all small companies, really, like, you know, independent comic book shops to medium-sized businesses, all trying to hawk their shit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, there's nothing there to see that's going to be, like, new or unique or anything. You'll have some guy, literally... some dude's old fucking He-Man collection that he wants to sell you.
And you're comparing, for comparison, for like, because you haven't been to Comic-Con, you go to Comic-Con and it's like, it's not like a guy selling Dark Horse Comics, it's Dark Horse Comics.
Yes.
It's like, there with a massive booth and these all their new stuff and like Star Wars stuff all over the place.
Yeah.
And there you walk in MegaCon, it's not quite that.
Well, I mean, even at Celebration, it was like Lego was there with a Lego display
selling
Legos.
Right.
And then at MegaCon, there was like a Lego enthusiast group
building
Legos.
Yes.
You know.
And that's kind of the difference with MegaCon. Although we talked about at the convention that they took a massive hit a couple years ago when the economy crashed. They were, them and FX, which is gone now entirely,
which sucks.
Took massive hits in people coming out to it. And I just don't think they've fully recovered yet. I think they lost sponsorships because people didn't see numbers. And now that it looks like they got their numbers back, because it actually sold really well this weekend.
Yeah. I hope it does. I'd like to see it stick around. I don't know if you guys remember, but a few years ago, CrossGen was based out of Tampa. CrossGen Comics.
Mm-hmm.
And
I didn't know they were out of Tampa. But...
yeah, they were based out of Tampa, and they were, you know, going to be the next big thing. They had all these guys leave Image. They started CrossGen.
Yeah.
And then CrossGen for like 2 or 3 years sponsored MegaCon as like the big the big money behind it. Well, CrossGen folded, and so like they didn't have any, and that was another reason why they kind of took.
It's weird because like it's not like our city can't do conventions, because we have, you know, we have music festivals that go on here that are pretty big. As much as we make fun of some of them, they're pretty big, you know. Or Gainesville Fest, the fest up in Gainesville, which is massive. It's just weird to see MegaCon. It's just like can't, like, it seems like, I don't know if it's the organization or if it's what's going on with it.
I mean,
I agree. I mean, it was pretty sad. There were some awesome things there, but I think you nailed it without even intending to in your write up. which was you called it basically a big like not garage
like
sale,
a flea market. Yeah, like,
and it is. It like there is almost no point other than the floor.
That's right. What I said was like when you look at the vendors that are there, like you know that these people like at the end of the day, like the end of the weekend, they just like pack up their Winnebago with like all these like Star Wars figures, and they go to the next convention.
Yeah, that's it.
And they're
like carnies.
Like they're not passionate. They don't take care of the stuff they have. They like sometimes they let it sit out in the sun, and you can see that like things.
With exceptions, I mean, there were some people there that were awesome.
Some, not everybody is like that, but then you see a couple of guys, and you're just like, man, you know, like you kind of expect. I guess when you come with a passion, you also expect people to share your passion.
The one thing, though, I do give MegaCon that they still pull off really well and better than some other comic-related conventions would be their artists. They get a ton of like decent-named artists that are there. The comic people still come out to MegaCon. It's just they've lost sponsorship and they can't put any decent panels together. And it's like... If they can get some decent panels and get some sponsorship.
Couldn't they, though? I mean, that's the thing.
I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying they can't put together decent panels. I'm saying they're not putting together decent panels.
And the question is why, though? It's like, you know, if I was looking through the list of panels and I saw something to the effect of, like, hey, how to have a better podcast. Mm. Like, even though that's not really what Comic-Con's about, like, if it was, like, how to have a great comic book podcast, I probably would have gone to that. Or how to compare and contrast between X-Men from the 1990s to the 2000s.
But we even were making jokes about, like, getting a media pass for MegaCon's harder than Comic-Con.
It is. No,
like,
it is.
That's insane. It's insane that the thing that I can go to and actually make... real progress as a media member versus this thing that has literally zero bearing on what I can report on, you know?
Yeah.
Like...
No, their criteria for getting a media pass for MegaCon is not only hard, but they're rude in the way they present it.
Yeah.
They're
and they need to be...
Media members will only be allowed one pass with, like, exclamation points.
And they should be
like,
begging for that shit.
Yeah.
Did you see any media? No.
Not a single
Do you think that has something to do with William Shatner being there and maybe people thought they could
get
free...
No, I think that's how they've been.
I mean...
Because even if you got a free media pass, it's not going to get you in to see William Shatner.
But even looking at the list of things that there were to do, I don't even know what I would use this pass for. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, there was no... Like, there's nothing for us as a website to go, like, oh, finally we can go talk to this person or get this. It was just like, oh... We could get in, I guess. Like, are they just trying to prevent us from getting a free pass? Like,
I think with, like, a camera and a microphone, you could have gotten more than what you would have gotten by getting a... You know, like, just by talking to the people that we got to talk to on the floor, you know? And, you know, that's something else we could talk about. Just by talking to, like, people like that.
I don't know. Like, I hope it does better. I hope it sticks around and, you know, turns out some better stuff. I think this year was a good sign that that's definitely feasible. That they might be able to, you know... get some real stuff going next year, get a good sponsorship or two, which is probably 90% of it, is that they just need a good sponsorship, you know?
It kind of makes me wish, like, going by the artist alleys, that I knew more about, like, what the, like, who the artists were and, like, what they did.
Right.
You know, because I feel like that's the real appeal as a fan, because they put these artists out there. You know, because you could be like,
and you can get signed stuff and they'll draw you custom art right there on the spot. I mean, like, the artist alleys are always pretty awesome.
Like, as a... fan of comic books.
So, I mean, the last MegaCon's where I got my Mike Choi artwork.
Yeah, see, as a fan of comic books, that seems like that would be, like, right in the pocket for you, you know?
Yeah.
Because even the guests this year, I was just like, I don't really know who any of these people are.
Right.
You know?
So, yeah, I'm you know, we always talk about this. I'm the Resident Evil guy. I love Resident Evil. So, we actually reported on this in early January. I think it was, like, January 2nd or January 4th. There were, like, rumblings of this game sort of being, you know, heard on different sites, and I didn't really know for sure if it was real or not, but Slant 6, who made some of the SOCOM games, finally released a trailer and a lot of information about Resident Evil Raccoon City, which is a four-player co-op, third-person, class-based shooter. That's a lot of stuff. Four-person co-op, class-based shooter, basically with two different factions. So you have Umbrella, and then you have Special Forces, which I don't know how they really factor into things. And they are competing to complete different objectives inside Raccoon City during the time period of Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 3.
Okay.
Which took place at the same time. So it's during the big Raccoon City zombie outbreak before the nuke drops. And you are Umbrella operatives trying to, like, do nasty stuff, like, you know, steal the T-Virus or do whatever. The thing that I thought was pretty cool about it, you want to run the trailer first?
And no. Then I'll talk. Do you want me to?
Yeah, let's run the trailer first, and then we'll talk.
Well, here is the trailer then.
All right.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, Android is right.
that's awesome.
Bo Bailey says, so Resident Evil Left 4 Dead 3.
That was my question. How can you be late to this game? Like,
there's that. What's the other game? The Island?
Island's coming out, yeah.
This genre is not dying.
Yeah, no,
it's undead.
Four player co op, like a la.
Is it four, though? It sounds like it's like eight player. Or did you say four player?
It's already? four player per team.
Per team.
And then
I mean, it's team based. Yeah. It's Left 4 Dead.
So you said this is squad based. Like more like in the sense of like a tactics kind of game.
Yeah,
like
it's a tactics.
Okay.
Yeah,
and with zombies.
Well, here's the thing that I think is kind of cool.
And Dead Island. That's what
I'm one of the few people that are supportive of this game. A lot of people. Well, I've been reading a lot of stuff in the media about it, and a lot of people think it's going to, like, they have no faith in it whatsoever.
What are they mad about? I mean, why?
They don't like that Capcom's essentially outsourcing. They don't like the idea that they are hiring all these smaller companies, like Grin or whoever the fuck, to make their games for them. Like, they're only really working on a few big titles of their own, and then they're kind of selling off these big, big licenses to all these smaller companies and trying to kind of, you know, use the names of those big games that they made.
So after, like, 10 Resident Evil games, nobody thinks there needs to be, like, a new infusion of creativity?
That's pretty much it. Well, they're also afraid, like, you know, people in the chat room and even us were saying, oh, it's just like Left 4 Dead, or it's just like, you know, this, it's just like that. There's definitely not a shortage of third-person tactical shooting games.
Right.
It's not like they came up with a whole new genre for this. But, you know, my thing is all the Resident Evil games they were puzzle games, they were survival horror games, they were really thick with story. Why not? Like, why not something new? Why not re-examine, you know, this, the father of the zombie game?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's millions of zombie games now, but the Resident Evil was the fucking original zombie game, and there weren't any. Why not look at it from a different angle, breathe some new life into it, inject some action into it?
I think the last time they did that, I think the reason being possibly that the last time they did that was probably, Nemesis?
Was that the shooter? Yeah.
Yes, it was an on-rail shooter.
It was pretty bad. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But, I mean, to me, the whole outsourcing thing doesn't bother me at all. I think people are, so fucking... They're so... I don't know if needy is the right word, but it's like... God forbid a company do something that probably keeps their, you know, coffers growing so that they can keep making games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom are making an assload of money for Capcom right now. The fact that they can't split another team, I mean, why stretch yourself out if you've got the opportunity to go after another studio and have them do it? And it's a studio with some sort of history. It's not like they just gave it to anybody,
The Slant 6, who's doing the game, their games haven't been reviewed incredibly well. They did, two different SOCOM games. But I think, looking at the trailer, people say, oh, the trailer sucks, whatever.
The trailer's good.
The
minority.
What it kind of showed me is that they got the vibe right. They got the atmosphere right. It looks like Resident Evil. It doesn't look like Left 4 Dead. It looks like Raccoon City. It looks like Resident Evil. And also it kind of shows, if you really look at it, and you read the press release, the four different characters you can choose from, like the Umbrella operatives, they all have different unique skills and abilities. It's like pretty much like you take like the ability classes of Team Fortress and you add it to the Resident Evil universe. So you have like a guy who's a heavy, who can, like, you know...
This like a twitchy kind of, like, shooter, like a Battlefield kind of game? Or is it more like overhead tactical, like, I send you guys here and you guys go here?
I would say more like the first one you said.
So it's like multiple people? Like, I would control a single...
You control a single guy. You may be able to switch between units or tell a unit to do something specifically, like hold this area... But it's going to be an action game.
Maybe this could be something similar to, like, Republic Commando, where it's like, I've got a squad of dudes, and I can just, like, go, like, you there, you there.
But I have a feeling it's going to be the kind of game that's meant to be played with your buddies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. There's actually a lot of Resident Evil news. You might be excited. Xbox Live Arcade is getting Resident Evil 4 HD.
That sounds awesome. Yeah, I'll be Evil, all over that.
Yeah, and Resident Evil Code Veronica HD this sounds year.
I never got... Was Code Veronica...
It was...
that was a Wii game, right?
It was actually a Dreamcast game. So a lot of people are super excited because it...
did they re-release it on the Wii or something? I thought it was on the Wii.
Resident Evil 4 came out for PS2 originally. And then I think they released it on the Wii with Wiimote controls.
Yeah.
And now it's going to be, I guess, HD remake.
Yeah. Actually, I think 4 was the cube first.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was.
That's awesome.
4 was the cube because that's the only reason I bought a cube. I was like, all right, buy a cube in this one game.
Yeah, it happens.
That's pretty much all I bought. So, what other... There's one more tidbit of Resident Evil news. The HD remixes... the 3DS. The Mercenaries game got new trailers for Wesker and Jill playable in Mercenaries. And if you buy Resident Evil Mercenaries for the 3DS, you're going to get basically a demo for the new Resident Evil Revelations, which is actually a whole new full-length Resident Evil story with Jill and Chris that's actually canon and everything.
The Mercenaries game is just like a frantic, like, mini-game kind of shooter thing, right?
Yeah.
It's not like a story. It's
a multiplayer, almost like arenas. You can choose from a variety of characters, like something to the effect of... They haven't released very many characters yet, but typically there's like eight to ten different characters,
mm-hmm.
all with different skill sets.
That was the one you played, right?
Yeah, I played it. I played it a lot, like on the GameCube, and I played Mercenaries at PAX.
Yeah.
And it plays well. Like, it slows down a little bit with the 3D, but I wouldn't play with the 3D on if I ever got a system. But so, you know, for Resident Evil fans, there's a lot on the horizon. A lot of it's kind of like barfing.
It's been kind
up.
Of lulling for a little while. It
really
so.
Has.
That you still... Oh, no, you got to play the card game, right?
Yeah. The card game was
I
want to
play
fun.
That again.
We should
good.
Play that again.
It's a good game. Speaking of, this is a really quick one, just because it was kind of funny and everybody blew up over this, of course. And we haven't talked about Batman in a while, so of course. Got to bring it up. They've already announced the Batman reboot.
What do you mean, like, for the trilogy? That
the guy in charge of DC movies essentially came out and was like, they got him to admit that they're doing a Justice League movie. So I think they said by 2013 they're going to have a Justice League movie.
Yeah.
And essentially, or maybe it was 2014, that might have been a more appropriate timeline. And then before that movie comes out, they're going to do a reboot of the Batman series, like, how he's going to be in Justice League.
So is this the fourth time a Batman, like, series has
Here's
been
the thing.
To film?
Everybody, and you've written an article about this, Ash, I don't actually look that negatively on it. Everybody gets really pissed off about the word reboot, and to me it's like, it's not a reboot, it's the fact that Nolan's not going to make more than 3 movies, and the Batman that he's probably ending this with probably doesn't even come close to fitting into the Batman that's going to be in Justice League. So they're probably thinking, like, well, shit, we need to do something so that it makes sense why this guy is all of a sudden in Justice League.
Yeah.
Because Justice League's probably going to be a lot brighter, happier movie than Batman, Nolan versus Batman is going to ever be. So, I just thought that was funny. Everybody completely freaked out over it and was like, reboot Batman, Nolan's the best thing ever. And I'm like,
he's not going to stick around
forever. They just need to not call it a reboot. They just need to be like, we're going to transition Batman into Justice League, because that's what they're
doing.
People,
like, in the 90s thought that Burton's Batman was the best Batman ever, and like, they're like, this will never get
people still argue that
Batman never get any better than that.
There was, dude, when I was a kid and Burton's Batman came out, there was bat fucking mania.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody had Joker shirts and Batman hats, and like, it was crazy for a couple months.
It's
really,
I think it's just reflective of the times. Like, when you reboot the series, it's like these movies are reflective of our time. Like, back then, those movies are reflective of, everybody liked The Crow back then.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So, like, Batman is kind of, like, gothy like that, too, you know?
They also announced that, was it Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Yeah.
Is confirmed he is going to be in Nolan's movie, and I think what came out was Falcone's son.
Oh, really?
Yeah, who goes after Batman. And then I guess Ryan was just saying that Nolan released his script for Batman 3 without the ending, so no one could find out the ending, and he only told the actors when they
It's all here.
Up. Yeah.
What a sneaky, sneaky man.
So, I mean, you know, I think it's just funny. I just love it when people freak out on the internet over something that's not even going to happen for like 2-3 years. He's not confirmed as Falcone's son. I thought he was. Yeah. Ryan reads the movie sites a little more often than I do. So, so finally, in the last bit of news, what did he just make a joke about? I told you he's not freaking out. I'm just telling you in all caps. Sorry. Which means you're freaking out, buddy.
Our unofficial chat room moderator.
He is a mod. I made
him
a mod.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know? So the last bit of news, a long while ago, Google came out and said, we're going to pick a city in the U.S., and we're going to roll out our super fast fiber optic, gigabit fiber optic cable to that city. And everybody will get free internet in that city. And everyone freaked out, and Orlando was one of them. We actually went for it. People were making bids to Google and doing things. There was even a city, I think Tulsa or somewhere, renamed themselves Google unofficially to try to get it. Like, everybody was trying to get this thing. Came out this week. It's been picked, and it is Kansas City. Oh, Topeka was the one that named themselves Google. Right. Kansas City, Kansas, has been chosen to get Google's gigabit fiber network rolled out in their city.
Interesting.
Now, some of us can just get pissed and say, oh, blah, 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 you know, why can't City get it? Or we can look at this as the first step in taking down the cable monarchies that exist across the country.
I'd say, geographically, it's kind of in the middle. Yeah. I mean, pretty much exactly in the middle. So
I think Google is basically going like, hey, here we're going to do this here, and if this works out and we think we're getting... Because here's the reality, what they're probably going to do. They're probably going to siphon information off the network as you're using it.
Oh,
sure, yeah.
Because that's how Google works. Google does everything by saying, like, you can have this for free, but you're going to give us who you are, what you're doing, and you know, we're going to use that to make our ad network stronger, and we're going to use that to make these products better.
Absolutely.
So I'm sure they're going to do something along those lines. But I look at this as a very positive thing for what we've talked about a lot, which is broadband freedom, mm-hmm. you know, or at least a choice. I mean, goddamn, even if Google charged something, it was a choice.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, like, I know that you have trouble with Bright House or whatever, and it's not so much that I have trouble or I'm mad at them. I just want competition, like any kind of competition, is healthy for
right.
customers. So even
right.
if there were like two or three games in town, you know, like
yeah, I mean, one of the things that our country is really anti are monopolies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a fucking monopoly. Like, if I can only have like one cable company,
yeah.
I mean, the argument is, of course, I have other ways of getting TV, and it's not, you know,
right.
But really, if I want cable, then
you
that's
have
it.
One choice.
That's it.
Yeah.
One choice. Then that's pretty close to the definition of monopoly, so...
Yeah, well, they say you've got DirecTV and
yeah.
Dish, you know. So it looks like it's 1 gigabit per second. I mean, that is just... It, the speed that network is going to be is ludicrous.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's insane how fast that is.
Let's just move to Kansas City.
Oh, I would love
they're saying
to play
20,
like an FPS on that.
Yeah.
They're saying 2012 it'll be fully rolled out and in Kansas City, so...
Ridiculous. Do you think it's like a giant, like... The fiber optic cable is just like this massive white cable with blinking lights in it.
It's Google, so of course.
Yeah, of course.
There's Androids that move it along.
Like in Hacker.
But yeah, so we can only hope this brings real competition and real, you know, broadband choices to the rest of the country. Soon, you know. Yeah. I think that's all the news right now, right?
That is it for the news.
That's all we wrote.
That's it.
That is
yep.
all we wrote.
All right,
down.
See you guys.
All right,
later.
Oh, no, wait, no.
See you later, everybody. All right, so we need a break. You want to roll right through?
No, let's just do it. Let's
yeah,
do it.
We're going to
roll right through.
Yeah.
We're going to roll right into the reviews. We've got a few different reviews, and none of which I have played or done anything with.
All right.
So this should be great. I'm going to check my phone.
It'll be fast. So
no spoilers on this first
yeah,
one.
Yeah, we can't spoil this for Matt.
Oh, we can't spoil
yeah.
it?
Zero spoilers on the first one. Sorry.
You and I can talk about it arbitrarily, if you'd like.
I can't.
How about you guys put a game plan together, and I'm going to roll some video.
All right.
All righty. So we're back.
All right. So I'll start off. I'm going to interview Scott.
Okay.
Did you like it?
The final chapter of Mass Effect 2
yeah,
DLC?
Yeah, so that's what we're... Yeah, we should probably say what we're reviewing here.
Yes, I did like it.
The Arrival. Good.
Yes.
I liked it, too, and... There's a lot of, again, the internet. I didn't read any reviews until I wrote my own, which is
mm-hmm.
what I've been doing lately.
Yep.
The internet isn't loving it. They like it. but they wanted... It's more of like a greedy fat kid.
Yeah.
They're like, this pizza was really good, but I wanted a whole pizza. Yeah. And you're like, oh, well, fuck you. Like, you can't have a whole pizza yet. A whole pizza comes in November. Until then, you have a piece of pepperoni pizza.
Okay, so here's what I think I want to say about this. And for people that are listening to this, maybe post-live cast, Matt has not played this DLC, so we're going to speak about it very...
Spoiler-free.
Spoiler-free, very arbitrarily, without talking about anything specifically. But I think what we talked about in the dialogue after your article was, I think a lot of people play this game for different reasons. Mm-hmm. And that's the first problem. So, like, if this DLC did not meet your expectations as to, like, why you played Mass Effect, you're immediately going to be disappointed. And then I think the other thing is that they released this as DLC for this game, and they just as easily could have released this, like, 5 months from now
as a preview,
like,
for three.
As a $10, like, download this and, like, get jazzed up for number three, because it's coming, you know?
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying.
So, like, you can't, like you said, you can't have your cake and eat it too sometimes, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree. I very happy with any piece of Mass Effect DLC, which is what you said. It's like, okay, well, why don't I like that piece of pizza?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, since I've played through the game so many times, I have 4 maxed out characters.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time I get DLC, I get to play it 4 times.
Oh, that's cool.
With 4 different character classes. So when people are like, oh, you know, it's $7, is it worth it? It's like, well, it may only be 90 minutes long, or an hour, however long it takes you, but I get to play it 4 times, you know?
But were any of them that long? I mean, Kasumi's was only like an hour or 2 long.
I mean, as long as you choose to make them, you know what I mean? Like, if you want to...
I've already put this piece of DLC, I've already played through 3 times. And the first time I did it, it took me 90 minutes, I timed myself. And I was reading everything, and I was listening to all the different radio reports, and I was taking time with my decisions. My third playthrough I did in about 35 minutes.
Yeah, see, that's the problem.
I just blew, I didn't open any safes.
Right.
Why the fuck do I need 1,000 credits?
Right.
I have 750,000 credits, you know.
I actually don't have that money, but I own everything in the game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, I don't need
any
credits.
I finally now own everything in the game, thanks to this last piece.
Oh, really? This is what you took?
I never had enough money
to buy
anything.
Maybe I can finally get Jack on my team with this last one.
Maybe. That's the cool thing with the DLC, is it can boost your Paragon or Renegade enough.
She's the only one. She's the
holder. I was finally able to get her back with the last piece.
Yeah,
each Shadowbroker.
Each DLC gives you another opportunity for conversation, because, you know, like, you can only, when you talk to characters, they're like, come talk to me later. And then you're like, oh, I'm at the end.
Yeah, there is no later.
And, like, these things, like, give you an opportunity to kind of, like, oh, now I can try again.
Yeah.
You know?
Cool stuff that I like that's spoiler-free. Mm-hmm. You get your mission from Admiral Hackett, who you haven't seen since Mass Effect 1.
Yeah.
Who was a major, major part of Mass Effect 1. Because, mm-hmm. you know, you served under him. He's pretty much, like, right up there with Udina. And, you know, he's major, major, major player in the world of Mass Effect. And you haven't seen him at all in Mass Effect 2. He just literally was absent.
Right.
He's voiced by Lance Hendrickson from Aliens. Awesome actor. Great character.
Do you think Treehouse Brand Stores needs to make a t-shirt that just says "Hack It Out" on it?
Yes.
Because, like, I hear that line so many times, and I'm just like, "Hack It Out." I love it.
That would be great.
That would be great. All of Mass Effect 1 was just you talking to him.
It was, and that's why it was cool to see him again. Because you're like, in 2, where the fuck is he? You know what I mean? It's like, you deal with almost everybody else. You figure, like, this guy who was your boss, who, you know, had a lot of respect for you, would at least kind of call you on the radio when he found out you were alive. And he doesn't even bother to do that. So you're like, all right, so they must have just not been able to
get... And then when you would go talk to him, he was just like, I got nothing.
Yeah.
He just kind of left you alone the whole time.
Yeah, that's true. But, so that was cool, and that's kind of spoiler-free. The other thing...
It's killing you, isn't it?
I'm just trying to...
I'm trying to think very slowly.
I don't
want to
fuck
sure.
up.
Yeah.
Also in my review, which Matt read up until the point where it says spoilers... Trying to remember what I said. It's a solo mission, which a lot of people are kind of pissed about.
Yeah, I saw that. It's kind of weird.
So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I don't... See, that's kind of gets into that area where it's like you play a lot of Mass Effect because it's a squad-based game.
Yeah.
And then when they take away, like, what probably many people would consider to be the main gameplay mechanic, or one of the main mechanics of the game, I can understand why people get angry. But at the same time, like, it's DLC. You know, sometimes DLC might be a place to try out new things. Like, other previous DLCs, like, reintroduced terrestrial, like, vehicle combat. You know, like, this DLC tried a little bit of, like, solo combat. You know, it's like...
BioWare is not dumb, and they are pretty much... That is their beta test for a lot of things that are going into the next game. They want to see what the player reaction is to those sort of things. They want to see, you know, really on forums and things like that, they do pay very close attention to what the players, how they react.
And they can probably pull down metrics like, oh, people spent this much time playing this DLC. Like, people spent this much time driving the vehicle, you know? Like, it takes about this much time for someone to get through this part. You know, it's like... Yeah.
Have you downloaded the latest costume pack yet?
I think I have, but like I look through the costumes and I can't. Sometimes I can't tell which one's the new ones.
Okay, yeah, I downloaded the Miranda. It's Miranda, Grunt, and Tali.
To my knowledge, I have all the costumes.
They're
all the DLC.
Pretty badass. Okay. Miranda's is like a freaking like, you know the Cerberus armor pack they put out. Mm-hmm. It's a Miranda version of that Cerberus armor.
Cool.
It's really cool, yeah.
I think the thing that I'm disappointed with the most in terms of, I think the thing that I'm disappointed with the most, like, is that the costume choices for your female character on the ship are, like, terrible.
No, I agree.
The casual wear, it's like...
Oh, yeah. But there's a scene, you know when you do the Kasumi loyalty mission, you get, like, the
cocktail.
The hot dress, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a scene,
it's actually,
not a spoiler.
It's a weird suit on the dude.
Yeah,
it is. It's a horrible suit on the dude. All right. There's a scene where you're sitting on a table as Shepard, and Shepard's kind of like, I don't want to say butch, but Shepard, especially voiced by Jennifer Hale, is, like, a tough chick.
She's kind of got, like, a... Olivia Dunham kind of thing going
on. Yeah,
yeah.
So she... seeing she's sitting on the table and I had her in that dress.
Yeah.
Totally spread eagle for like 20 seconds, just like crotch skirt. And I'm just like, this is kind of awkward.
Yeah.
She's just having a conversation like with her hands on her hips and you're like, hey, Shepard, I can totally see your coochie. It's like, what are you doing? Like, control yourself.
It's like a little quality control problem there. Like, nobody tested like all the, you know.
Yeah. It was like, you should have kind of... seen if the DLC costume show a little crotch. But I liked it. Major qualms, no new weapons.
Yeah.
You know, I'm one of those nerds who bought all the weapon packs.
Mm-hmm.
How could you not?
Yeah, it's
the freaking the Tesla gun, whatever that thing is called.
The arc projector?
The arc projector, most powerful gun in the game.
Really?
It's absurd.
Oh, I'll take a
fucking absurd.
I'll take
a
remember.
I got the arc projector.
It might come with the Cerberus network.
I think it was
a downloadable weapon.
I learned, like, at some point in the game that just, like, because I didn't always use my special weapon, so I always carried the nuke with me.
Do you?
And any time that I was like, I'm done with this, I would just pull out the nuke and just fire one bullet in the round and be over.
See, I can never get a shot off with that thing.
That's how I beat the Thresher Maw.
Because
just fired a nuke at him. I just waited for him to pop up, and I was like...
Did it one-shot him?
No, but it like it pulled down that bar. Like,
okay.
It made like a 20-minute battle, like a 5-minute battle. You know.
You posted the achievements.
Yes.
Have you gotten a chance to get all of them yet?
I cheated to get that one. Like, I'm not gonna lie about that because that was ridiculous.
The survival.
I didn't read
one?
The achievements. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I won't spoil it.
I
lucked out with that. I did like a nostalgia run just for fun. I put
Do
on
you
my.
Guys... Pay attention to achievements while you're doing your first playthrough?
No.
I read them over and I was just like, okay.
I know Ash doesn't.
I know.
In general, when you play a game, do you play your first playthrough paying attention to achievements?
It depends on the game. Mass Effect, no. Like, I play Mass Effect and I go with it.
Right.
And then, but a game like Fable 3, like, I did look at the list and they show them to you. Well, if you do something in the game, they're like, oh, 10 out of 20. You need 10 more to get this achievement. So sometimes they show them to you. And it's
right,
not like,
I'm
not going to play Fable 3 twice.
I just am so not... I'm just not that.
To me, like, sometimes achievements, like, also give me a glimpse into what the developer thinks is, like, unique or important about their game.
Right.
And sometimes it's just like, oh, you beat level 1, you get points. You beat level 2.
Sure, no, I get it. I've just never...
We could have, like, a totally different discussion about, like, the designing of achievements.
All right, well, moving on. So it's good. Worth it to you guys.
Definitely.
I mean, I don't know. If you're a Mass Effect fan, I don't know how you couldn't get this final DLC.
I think
DLC.
Maybe the last thing I want to say about it is that...
Is it
like,
15 or 10?
Seven.
Seven.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, then who fucking cares that it's 90 minutes long?
Right.
That's what I'm saying. It's 7:50.
And the last thing I could say about this is that now this game is complete, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And now you could go, now I'm ready to go do a whole new playthrough. Just like,
yeah,
start
yeah.
over, new character.
All
the DLC is there.
Oh, yeah,
it'll
yeah.
Play it like more. Naturally, not instead. Like, because I just keep putting the disc back.
Yeah, in. Yeah. Because that DLC, like, I played after everything,
right?
And it made literally no sense.
Right.
At
yeah,
the
yeah,
end.
So
yeah.
now
like,
you can just
all right.
you could put all this like new story into your own narrative and make a whole new game.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So
yeah.
All right. Well, before you start this next one, I'm super into this media thing. So
right.
we're back.
Hey.
We're back.
I have a confession to make.
Okay.
I didn't actually get a chance to play this game, but I'm going to make a few assumptions about it. Well, here's what I do know. It's like,
you didn't have to tell them, man. You can
no,
just roll through.
No,
like,
that's
you know
fine. I'm
going to
be
about.
Honest because like I had some assumptions. Like, this game just came out in closed beta today,
mm-hmm.
so I got an invite because I like there's basically two types of people in the world. There's people that play Call of Duty, and there are people that play
Battlefield.
People wait in line to play Call of Duty, like, I'm sure people will stay home to play Battlefield
yeah.
when
yeah,
the
yeah.
new one comes out or whatever. What I gather from looking at this is that it's one of the games, it's like, okay, play for free, so it's like you log in, you can level, like, if you've played Battlefield Heroes, which is another browser-based Battlefield game, which is more like tune-based, I feel like if you've played that, you've played this one. And I can already see that the battle funds, which are like the paid credits that you buy, carry over between games.
Okay.
So
this has nothing to do with Battlefield 3.
No.
Correct. This is a browser-based Battlefield game that you can like play, you know, you play it in the browser, you log in, you create a character in browser, it launches like a Unity window, and then you just play Battlefield.
Is this, not to get super techy, but it's been 2 seconds on this. Is Unity just OpenGL for the browser? Is
I
that
think
what's
it's
going
just like
there?
I think I don't know exactly what it is, but it's
I'll
like
look into it.
It's something you can download for free, and it's just like this.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine. I just didn't know. I'm like, I just keep hearing about it, and I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah. Like EA uses a lot. That's what like Tiger Woods runs off of
yeah.
in the browser. That's what Battlestar Galactica uses. But as a Battlefield fan, what I can tell you about this game, and I can already tell looking from the screenshots, is that these maps, like this game, I think is Battlefield 2.
Right.
Or at least a watered down version.
Right.
Because people still play Battlefield 2 now on PC, and when they do play Battlefield 2, everybody plays one map.
Hmm.
I'm not joking. There's like maybe like 5 or 6 maps in that game, like in the core set. There's only 2 maps that people play now when you
right.
go online. And there's, and when I say 2, I mean like 1, and then 2 is way down here. And this map that they show on the website is like something like Return to Kirkland or something like that
yeah.
or whatever.
I
and the
that map.
The Kirkland map is the map that everybody plays. That's what you see in the screenshots.
You know why
here.
Though? It's because they find the map that maximizes like the amount of experience you get
oh,
in
yeah.
the amount of time.
Yeah.
That's why like if you ever played Black Ops, I don't know if you guys ever did, but everybody plays Nuketown 24/7. It's this little tiny square map. Matches are very, very fast, really deadly. It's like just a clusterfuck
yes.
from beginning to end. No strategy at all, but you level very quickly because
mm-hmm.
it, you know, the matches end so quickly.
Right.
So, you know, and if you look on the Black Ops list, which I haven't looked at in months, but it's fucking Nuketown 24/7. Nuketown.
This is like literally the reason I hate those games.
Oh yeah,
that
yeah.
That they're like people are exploiting it to get level. Like it's all. I don't. I just. I'm not.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, yeah.
this I can tell you. I know this map well, and in this map in particular, like one team starts off at one base, and the other team basically controls all the flags behind it. So like the fighting team starts at the bottom, and they have to push their way like northward, and so. There are a lot of choke points on the map. So really what it turns into is a firefight just between two flags. Like, the base flag and the first flag that they can capture. And, like, there's only, like, 3 ways you can get out of your base, which creates, like, 3 choke points. And then people actually play this map now without vehicles. So it's really just, like, one-on-one combat.
Right.
With, like, you just keep tossing grenades into the enemy camp and keep killing them. But...
Well, we'll keep this one short, so you can revisit it next week and
yeah.
tell us your actual thoughts, like, afterwards.
Next week, we got to do a little bit of a Mass Effect plot discussion after you play it.
Yeah, we can't do that
yes,
one either.
Yes, we can't.
We've got one more review item, and it's because our Nintendo fanboy, sure enough, waited in the cold
yeah, right.
for his mail to show up this weekend, and he got the Amazon 3 or the Amazon, the Nintendo 3DS.
Yeah, like in this day and age, like waiting a day like won't kill me, especially when Amazon has free shipping most of the time.
Yeah.
So I did not wait anywhere. I just, the mail came.
So and pull it out. Whip it out, big guy.
So
did it come with that sweet case?
No, this is actually my case from the DS Fat, the original DS.
And it just, really?
It has housed my DS Lite and now my 3DS. But this is the, you probably can't see any of this at all. That's cool. I don't know what you can see on the camera, but...
you're not going to see it.
Okay, well, the 3DS is roughly the size of, I guess, the DS Lite.
Yeah, it looks about the size of the DS Lite.
It's still got the touch screen on the bottom. The top screen is a little bit wider now.
Can I see it, actually?
Yeah. The top screen is wider. The bottom screen is your touch screen. The top screen is your 3D screen.
Whoa.
The unit has, like, kind of what is, I think, overlooked about this unit is that there's a lot of extra tech in it just besides it being 3D.
Okay.
So, to make the 3D work in, like, augmented reality, it's got two outside cameras, which can play augmented reality games. It's got a front-facing camera inside the unit, so you can take pictures of yourself.
Okay.
It's got gyroscope, like tilt sensor motion, Wi-Fi. It has an SD card slot, so you can like put your save games on there.
I like this nub.
Yeah, it's got a thumb pad now, which is kind of like the PSP nub, but it's like concave instead of whatever the opposite of that is.
Convex.
Convex, yep. And it's big enough for your thumb, unlike the PSP stick, which is like your thumb like rolls off of it.
I would get such hand cramps from playing that fucking thing.
Yeah. I mean, this sits super nicely in your, hand.
Yeah, if you're using the D-pad, it's a little cumbersome, but if you use the thumb, whatever that is, the thumb pad or whatever.
Totally half listening and playing circle pads right now.
Yeah, that's fine. the circle pad works well, and the shoulder buttons are easy to get to. Because I remember on like previous DS models, those shoulder buttons are like hard to like when you're holding it. You know, like the SP like was real bad. But
So, do you actually import your Miis into this game?
I had to create a Mii, and that's the weird thing is that like in this first iteration of this firmware, it doesn't connect to your Wii. If you don't have a Wii, then who cares? Yeah. It doesn't connect to your Wii, and there's no store support yet. So I was like, I got the system before I got a game.
I have to bring this up. I was right before. There is going to be a Wii or a marketplace on this, isn't there?
I thought there was going to be a market.
Yeah, we said it last week, and then we're like, oh, maybe there isn't, because I couldn't find the info. But it's called, and I totally didn't write it down. There's a name for it, and there is a marketplace for this that's going to be on it.
Yeah, it's not there yet.
Well, I even thought when I was setting the unit up that I saw a screen that was like, play your favorite DS and 3DS games. And I was like, oh, I'll be able to buy them. 3DS Market, maybe? I don't know.
No, it's, I mean, kind of, yeah, but no. It's not anything, like, crazy in name.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, I was kind of hoping that there would be, a 3DS Market where I could download, like, Super NES games or whatever, but...
Yeah.
Anyways, the hardware is really cool, and what it comes with is a set of cards that you can put down on the table and then use the camera to play like a little augmented reality game. So it's more like a tech demo, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So using the cameras, you see like things appear like on your table, you know, like enemies to shoot at and like target practice games to play. There's a mini game that uses the camera to take pictures of people's faces, and then they like appear in your office and you shoot at them like turning around the room with your DS, and like the unit itself does a really good job of sort of like showing off everything that the system is capable of. You can even take 3D pictures with the two outside cameras and then view them on your system.
That's pretty crazy.
Or like even like a, I guess if you had a 3D TV.
Would you argue though that because you said it's like a demo of sort of what's to come,
mm-hmm.
that they rushed it and they didn't put out?
They didn't rush the unit. The launch titles.
That's
yeah.
And launch. Really, like a serious amount of games for people to play.
From what I can see, there are only like maybe two or three games that are not ports of something. You know, like okay, like sure, Street Fighter is awesome. You know, but like I can play Street Fighter on the Xbox. I didn't buy the 3DS to play game like existing games. I want new experiences. You know,
exactly. Yeah.
So I mean, honestly, I bought this because you know, at some point in time, there will be a Zelda game. There will be a Mario game. Hopefully, there will be a Paper Mario game, which would be totally conducive to the 3DS.
Yeah.
You know? So it's essentially just refreshing faster than our eyes can catch is what's going on there.
Yeah, I mean, like, I know we talked last week about the 3D, like, slowing down the frame rate or whatever, but I don't notice that, at least in, like,
Pilot Wings. I've heard Street Fighter. When you get into the more high-def games is when it starts becoming very apparent.
Yeah, but just, like, I mean, like, in a very Apple-esque sort of way, I don't buy the 3DS to play third-party games. You know, I buy the 3DS to play Nintendo's games.
Sure.
Yeah. Should something else come along, then great.
I mean, you'll play Resident Evil, though, right? You'll play...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
Revelations looks like it's pretty good.
But, like, to me, anything beyond, like... those, like, core, like, 5 or 6 games is, like, going to be a
bonus. You know what's weird? That even from just a few minutes of playing it, that totally... I call it camera eye. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, when I'm out with my camera and I take just a ton of pictures and I'm using it constantly, I always have it up against my face, I get camera eye where, like, my eyes don't... I can't focus 2 eyes at the same time. Like, one basically just is turned off and my right one takes, you know, precedence. And I feel like that right now. My left eye is, like, all...
Huh.
I'll weird it out.
I mean, like, the there's a 3D slider on the unit, and honestly, if
But it just felt like on or off to me. I mean, I felt it, it did feel like it was getting a little less deep, but it really felt like it was, like, on.
Yeah.
Slightly less off. Like, it was, like, yeah.
Now I really use the slider based on where I'm holding it. So if I'm holding it down...
Yeah, I mean, the moment I was tipped it, and it was, like...
Yeah, if I hold it down my lap, I just turn the dial a little bit. If I'm holding it, like, closer to my face, I turn up all the way.
I mean, the tech looks awesome in it. Like, the 3D looks really good. You know? That's not the issue. And my eyes are totally fine, like, now. It's just, that's how I feel. It's the same exact feeling as when I shoot too much.
Yeah. And here's the thing that I want to say about 3D real quick, and that's, like, that 3D is not going to be a game changer in gaming, in my opinion.
I haven't seen it yet, man. There's no killer 3D app.
Right. And I don't think...
But I think people might have said to you that motion controlling wouldn't be a game changer.
I mean, I bought into that immediately, though.
And I feel like it is in multiple formats.
Yeah,
like,
true.
I think even as much as I make fun of it, Sony's Move is still has changed some things, very few, but some.
Sure.
You know, not to the extent that Kinect or Wii did, but, you know... I think 3D could get there. I think that... Not higher art forms, but higher... I think things like Avatar prove that 3D can affect how you experience something. You know what I mean? Like, when you saw Avatar in the theater and you walked out, everybody was just like, holy crap.
Oh, yeah, it looked great.
You know, like, good lord, that's what 3D is supposed to be. You know, not all this other bullshit we've seen.
3D is like...
And I feel like gaming, the tech isn't there yet. We're like in the 50s era of 3D for gaming.
Yeah.
And there's just no killer, there's just no piece of art for gaming that's like, that's what 3D is for, that's why I'm experiencing 3D, you know?
Yeah, to me, like, 3D in gaming is just, like, the same way that, like, graphical improvements, like, increase the quality of 3D gaming, but, you know, like, a 3D, like, 3D doesn't make the plot to Avatar any better, you know what I mean? Like, it just makes the picture look nicer, you know?
But it didn't make it look nicer, it just made it more immersive.
I mean, when
you're sitting in there and things are floating around you and stuff's happening and he's not just, like, throwing pies at your face.
Right.
Like, that made that movie better. Like, that made that experience of going to that movie better. And I just don't... I've played enough 3D games in enough different formats now, maybe not for long periods of time, but enough to feel like... Like, it's just not, like, I'm just not, nothing's really been like, this is the way you should be experiencing this.
Yeah, and I guess the reason why I say this is because the only thing I expect out of this system is for Nintendo to use the 3D well. Like, I don't really, I don't have high expectations for third-party developers to, like...
A little weird focus issues when you pull off of it. It's because your eyes, what's happening is this. So the way this is probably working, let's let the monkeys play around for a minute.
Yeah.
This is the way the 3DS is probably working. There's two images. It's the way you've seen it online. There's two images that just the background is shifting in and out. And what they're doing is pulling how far that front one's coming from the background with that slider. And that thing's shifting like this back and forth, which makes whatever's sitting on top of that layer look like it's out. Look like it's out of the screen. So it's flipping around. So what your eyes are doing probably is focusing... on that background flicker, and then when you pulled it off your eyes, all of a sudden your eyes are still focused like an inch beyond where you're actually
looking. Didn't they tell people that when they, like, when you go to see Avatar, like, that it's better to focus on the action and not on the background in that
right way? Because it'll screw with your focus, it screws with your vision, because your eyes start to think that they're looking at something that's not, they're trying to focus on something that they can't.
It's funny, really briefly about Avatar, Matt and I remember you were stuck in traffic.
Oh, we got to see the preview.
We got to see the preview of Avatar.
I mean,
like,
I mean, I ran into
the Yeah. And I just remember, like, all of us afterwards, we were, like, sitting around, and we're like, man, they didn't show us the whole movie, for those listening.
20 minutes, or 15 minutes.
Yeah, 15, 20 minutes. And we kind of sat around afterwards, like, yeah, this movie's going to make a fucking shit ton of money.
Yeah.
We were like, we really couldn't tell what the plot of the movie was going to be like or anything, but we knew the level of 3D and James Cameron being the guy that he is, that this movie was going to make a fucking shitload of money, you know?
Yeah.
And, of course, it did. I mean, obviously, I know that the 3DS is going to make a shitload of money, too. I don't know if it's for me.
I feel like the reason it's going to make... Part of the reason it's going to make a shit ton of money is that Nintendo... I'm pretty sure Nintendo's behind this because of how everybody's doing it, but they have encouraged price breaks by trading in old DSs, and I was like, that's how they're going to do it. They're going to give a worthwhile trade-in on your old DS to get the new one at a lower price point.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you have the newest, if you just bought a DS, you know, what is it, the DSX?
The DSi XL.
If you bought that one, you can take that in, and it's $100 off in, like, multiple stores. There's, like, three or four different stores doing this, where you get $100 off the purchase of a new...
Now, do they just recycle the tech, or are they just going
to
be...
I have no idea what they're doing with the old ones.
Who knows?
Walmart's doing it, so it's hard to know what they're doing, unless Walmart's selling it off to a third party.
Interesting.
But what it does to me is it shows that now when your parents are complaining that you already have a DS, well, you just take your parents and go, well, I can trade this in and get $100 off this new one. I don't know. Like I said, I think we're waiting for that killer 3D.
Well, I'm glad you got it, because now we can review 3D
stuff. Yeah, like right now, I mean, for I'm a Nintendo guy, so I'm always going to get this. For someone that's not, like, into Nintendo stuff like I am, I would just say wait until either, like, a sale comes along or a game comes out that you're just like, okay, that's the one. I'm ready to jump into this. Like, I got it on day one just because...
I was looking at it, I was like, I actually missed my DS this weekend. I was like, I should pull it out and play some games. Plus, I got that Mario Kart, dude. I looked at the used price on Mario Kart, is like $30.
Those games
really?
I got it for $5.
First party Nintendo games on the Wii and on the DS, like, hold great value. Like, if you buy it for $30, you can sell it for, like,
$28. I got it for $5 at the swap thing that we did up at PAX.
There you go.
I can't wait for... Dude, next year, I am going to freaking go ape shit at the swap. Hopefully, they have it next year.
We'll just have to, you know... Now we've got it. Now we can play some stuff on it. The one thing I was going to say is 3D is not going away. Vizio just released a new line that's coming out, I think, in the next month or two, of 3D TVs for your living room.
Mm-hmm.
37-inch starts at freaking... thanks, Ryan. 37-inch starts at, like, $600. 1080p 3D TV. And I was like, God, they're really... Like, they're putting the price at a reasonable level to the point where now it seems like people are going to start actually buying... And it takes a company like Vizio to do it, probably, but people are going to start actually putting those things in their living room. You know, 3D's there, it's like... I don't know, you know?
I'm not into it. I'm not into 3D. I mean...
I'd watch a movie. I could see Melissa and I sitting in the room watching Avatar in 3D or something, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know about gaming in 3D. It's just not there yet. It's just really not.
My eye still feels funny from that.
Really?
Yeah.
It'll
normalize. I acclimated to that very quickly.
Really?
So maybe I was just fortunate, lucky, I don't know.
You guys have googly eyes.
Googly eyes.
Do we need a break, or are we...
We're good.
How are we doing on rolling?
Power through.
Yeah, let's do it, man.
All right,
so... we'll talk real quickly about the article you wrote, Scott, on cross-promotion and what you're looking for, because I think that's what you really want to talk about, is what cross-promotion you'd like here. Because obviously EA is listening. They read our site and they listen to our podcast.
Oh, absolutely.
We already know that by all the ideas they've stolen from us.
I kind of found it hard to believe that there hasn't been any cross-promotion between specifically the Mass Effect universe and Dead Space. Or maybe there has been, and I've just never noticed, but I feel like somebody would have brought it to the public attention, you know, if that already did happen. So, What's up?
It's not recording.
Oh.
No, it stopped about an hour ago.
What stopped?
The audio recording. It's recording video. It's fine.
Oh, I was gonna say, we're still recording on the on Ustream.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've got it all.
Just extra work for Matt.
Yeah, you know, it's the fun thing.
NBD.
Okay, so yeah, cross promotion. So, when we actually thought of this idea while I was responding to your Arrival review, and I ended up turning it into a separate post, and I was just like, huh, that is kind of weird that there's never been, like, you know, because you can get, like, Isaac stuff in Dragon Age, and, like, you know, you can, wasn't there, you could get Dragon Age armor in Mass Effect, right? Oh, no, you could get
Mass Effect armor in Dragon Age
or yeah, something like that, but there's never been, like, these two, both
it's all BioWare, though, right? I mean,
well, I mean, the Dead Space armor in Dragon Age is visceral to BioWare, so, I mean, like, I find it hard to believe that these two companies never just kind of, like, I'm sure they don't talk every day, but they never just picked up the phone.
Well,
like,
okay, there's more to it, too, yeah, because Christina Norman, who's the lead gameplay designer for the Mass Effect series, she's a huge Dead Space fan.
They must be aware of the fact that both these games take place in space in the future.
Yes. Well, you know, huge Dead Space fan, and also, like, they've been looking at the Dead Space UI.
Uh-huh.
Because there's been a lot of complaints about the Mass Effect series is that people didn't like the UI in Mass Effect 2. They thought it was kind of old-fashioned, a little clunky.
I'll tell you what I didn't like was just the portraits of two players always at the bottom of the screen. I thought that was very, like...
Let me tell you what I didn't like. Orange text on top of red background.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's near unreadable on a crappy screen. It's just unreadable.
Yeah. That's probably pretty
anyways,
bad.
That was totally.
But
yeah,
so
that was busted.
There's a lot of rumors just this week of them really looking at the UI for Dead Space 2 and trying to figure out ways of incorporating, like, player health into the actual armor that the player wears. Because you can't argue the Dead Space UI is fucking gorgeous.
Because there is no UI. That's
exactly
what makes it awesome.
It's gorgeous. Like, it doesn't take you out of the game. It's completely immersive. And
were they one of the first ones to remove the HUD?
I think because the first Dead Space had no HUD, really.
Yeah.
It was just like...
Because
there was
Isaac's
ammo on your gun, right?
Yeah. And then, like, the plot
ammo
points
on your gun.
Pop up in his suit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then... and your health was on your back.
Yeah. And then when you go into inventory, it just, like, pops out of his
suit.
So everything was, like... There was nothing, like... The player had no fourth wall.
Right. I think it was one of the first UI removals.
Right.
Yeah. It's completely brilliant.
But, you know, I'm with you. I would love to see... any sort of nod, like you were saying, like even little things, like have you find like a data disk that have you find a data disk that just kind of you know, explains a little bit of the connection between the two universes, or
I mean, I kind of laid out a bunch of different ways, and I actually like when I thought of the idea, I actually did the research. I was like, oh, when do these games take place? Like,
oh, in terms of years?
Yeah, like in the article, I was like, oh, Mass Effect takes place in like the 24th or 21st century or something. No,
yeah.
Wait. 22nd. I don't know. It's like 2143, and then the other game takes place in like 25 something or other.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, okay, so there's about 400 years difference in there. I'm like, that's not impossible.
Yeah.
To do something with the two.
But if they're, well, I guess they both have Earth in them, so you can't say they're from different galaxies, but...
Yeah, I mean, but like I said, at the very least, if you wanted to do something significant, like, Isaac Clarke hallucinates all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So why not just let him hallucinate that he's, like, he winds up in Mass Effect?
But do you want Dead Space in Mass Effect, or Mass Effect in Dead Space?
I don't really care. I mean, I guess I would like to see something in Mass Effect,
right,
but I don't, to be honest with you, it doesn't matter to me. Like, I just feel like it would be neat. It's just like one of those, like, hey, it would be neat if...
Right.
Yeah, the Rachni are relatively... necromorphish.
Yeah.
Just saying there could be some sort of weird link between
and I was like, would it really be impossible to imagine, like, a plot line where, like, the markers are just, like, Reaper artifacts or something, you know? Like what's a marker? Why does it make everybody crazy? Oh, well,
there's a little bit of a similarity between that as well.
I'm sure, like, we are not the first people to draw parallels between the two games, you know?
Right.
Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, the crazy thing is, like, they're both on right now, sequel 2.
Yeah.
You know, Mass Effect's obviously going to hit before Dead Space 3, but, you know, both massive AAA titles, both, you know, published by EA,
mm-hmm.
and, I can definitely see them some doing some sort of item cross promotion, because I never thought I would see, you know, when I got the pamphlet and it's like, wait a second, I can get Dead Space themed armor in Dragon Age 2. I was right. like, what the hell is this? It's crazy.
Yeah.
And like, and then what I said in response to your, you know, your article was, the armor was actually really good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It was better than, you know, when you first get the Blood Dragon in Mass Effect.
Yeah, you know,
it wasn't great. It was like, oh, it's like 10% shields or whatever.
And it's one thing you can wear.
Yeah.
As opposed to a component armor that gives you better stats.
Yeah, the thing about, and you haven't played DA2 yet?
No.
The thing about the armor is it's only for rogues. It's rogue
armor. Well, that's what I'm going to be then.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's sweet.
But I guess what I'm trying to say is I want something more than just item, like, codes or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't want it to derail the story.
Right.
Whether the acknowledgement is serious or not is not important to me. Like, I just want to know that these two people, like, are aware of one another, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree.
Like,
it makes the games more fun when they have little tits.
Yeah, like, a dusty old darkened
little
like,
tits is what I just said.
Little, yeah.
I don't know why I said that. It makes the games more fun when they have little tits. This is not what I meant.
You mean
to say.
Like, you meant to say tidbits.
I did.
Easter egg.
It just turned into tits. Little tits, you know.
It could just be, like I said, it could be a Commander Shepard statue inside of someone's office in Dead Space that if you find it, ha ha, and if, you know, like, if you don't, whatever.
I was going to say, wasn't there a game with Pip-Boys in it that wasn't Fallout? Or no? Am I making that up in my brain?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know how you would get Dead Space into Mass Effect, though, because if it's, like, 600 years later, you would just have to, like, project something backwards.
What if you can go explore the ship? Like, one of the ships?
Yeah, I thought it would be cool.
Maybe it'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, like, you...
Like, it's, like, wreckage somewhere that you can go and...
Yeah, like, I would have to imagine that, like...
Ishimura
floats
into frame.
I was like maybe they've been planet-cracking for 600 years. It's, like, not like they just started doing it, like, yesterday. So, like, in the earlier world of Mass Effect, they should be able to...
Right.
Find something related to Dead Space. But anyways, that's my fan service moment, so...
Sorry I didn't enjoy it. I've never played Dead Space, so it's, like...
I was late on that train as well, so... Pick them up, they're good.
Like I said, the only reason I played Dead Space, the only reason I even gave it a chance was because I knew it had something to do with System Shock 2.
Right.
Have
you ever played Bioshock?
Yeah, I played Bioshock.
Okay.
I know, like, they split, and, like, one
yeah.
made one, you know. But I still like the space thing, so that one kind of...
Yeah.
Still has a win in my heart, but...
Sweet, bro.
Yeah. Bioshock. I'm there.
I'm not a Bioshock fan. I'm a minority.
The last bit of stuff.
That game is $13, Bioshock 2, on Amazon.com right now. Sorry.
You can have my copy.
Not really, yeah. Is this book that Ash brought.
Yeah.
That looks like a D&D book.
It's crazy. I
thought it was
D&D
book.
The other day on the site, we had an ad up because Amazon was running a deal and Dragon Age 2 was only $39. And it was only like a week and a half after it came out.
Yeah.
Well, the same day that they ran that deal, they also ran a deal on this. And this was also highly discounted. It was something like...
for Ryan.
Something like... I don't know, maybe $20. And I was like, you know what, I'll grab it. Because Christina likes these books a lot when she plays, because she's much more thorough than I am when she plays these games.
Mm-hmm.
Which I have to say, she's already beaten Dragon Age 2.
Does she like to use the guide?
93
like...
hours.
Oh my god.
To beat Dragon Age 2?
93 hours. I beat it twice in the time she beat it once.
So does she
just
like...
do like literally everything that you can
she
possibly do?
She does everything, and like when she fights, so methodical.
Like she's like slow battle.
Like every single, she uses the wheel.
So she just like hits somebody and then pauses the game and
hits
maneuvers.
Somebody, pauses the game, moves everybody. But I mean, like, I was watching her play and she was like, by the end, she was fucking beast.
Like
her mage was crazy. Like they have new mages now called Force Mages. It's pretty much like you're using the Force. Yeah. So just like, anyway. But the book is what I really hope every single guidebook is like for the future. Because
how much did you get it for?
I want to say $20.
Okay.
And it's hardcover. It has about 20 or 30 pages of lore. Obviously, this wouldn't work with all games because all games don't have 20 or 30 pages of lore.
Mm-hmm.
But it is insane. The art inside is beautiful. It goes through the entire game. Basically gives you all the missions, All the gear you could possibly want. The art inside is really, really unique. Maps of all 12 of the maps in the game. I don't want to get into that.
But it's crafted like a D&D book.
It looks
though,
exactly like a D&D
full
book.
Full art, like stats. Like,
yeah, stats, full
text,
art.
Yeah.
Like every single monster has their own little bio. It's just really like... those old Prima guides were very...
well, they were just like game facts.
Yeah, they look like textbooks. This looks like literally like an art book with information in it. So, if you're a fan of Dragon Age, it's still pretty cheap on Amazon. Was it 23 now?
Yeah, it's 23 now.
23, it's totally worth it.
I mean, because at this point, it's a guide and an art book.
It is.
So, $23 for the both things together is not...
Yeah, yeah.
You're not asking for a lot.
It has initial character sketches in the back and how, where the inspiration for the characters came from. And it also has... a lot of, I don't want to say, it has a lot of hints as to what may happen in Dragon Age 3, which I'm not going to tell you what happens, obviously, in 2, but
right.
There are a lot of dangling, you know, questions, like what the fuck's about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
If you read through this book, it gives you hints, like, you know, more than the game itself, and it gives you a lot of information, so it's really, really worth it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
I've been thinking, like...
Do you buy guides?
No.
Have you ever?
I bought two guides once for Star Wars Galaxies.
Yeah.
And that's because I felt like that game was so busted that it needed a guide.
Yeah.
An instruction manual plus guide.
Yeah. I feel like I borrowed your Mass Effect 1 one because I couldn't get through some of the heinous parts of that game.
I bought guides for...
I've never bought a guide, though.
I bought guides for Mass Effect for the reason you bought that book. I just wanted to have them.
That's what I mean. I only buy them for games. I never buy them and, like, read them, like, how to get
mm-hmm.
through something.
Yeah.
I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But I buy them as almost, like, collector's items.
Mm-hmm.
So I have, like, Mass Effect 1, Mass Effect 2. I have all the Resident Evil guides.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, the games that I really, like, I cherish. Because
you just want to, like, see more. You just want to consume it.
Yeah. And I just put them on the shelf and, you know... So I'm going to start buying, like, you know, if they, Prima puts out guides like this, shit, I'm going to buy all of them. They're definitely
like,
worth it.
I was thinking about...
So this is Prima still?
I think it still is.
Are they the only ones to do guides, essentially?
I'll double check.
Brady Games. I was thinking about some of this stuff today with these, like, supplemental materials, and I'm like, I was kind of surprised that, like, especially, like, a company like EA has never tried to capitalize more on, like, Dragon Age and like Mass Effect, or even, well, they did it with Dead Space, but by offering like those kind of, like, you know, Dead Space had like that $5 game that came out before the game came out.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I want to consume that kind of stuff. Like, there was a.
But I don't know if that's a. Like, I don't think they're making profit on that. I think it's a loss leader that just gets action and eyeballs more than it does money in their pockets.
Yeah, like when there's something I like, though, I just want to be a part of it.
Yeah,
like,
no, I totally understand. I'm just saying that I don't know that EA does that as a, oh, like, it's a fan service, I think, more than it is anything else. So the reason they probably don't do it more often is that they're not making money on it, so they're kind of just going like, well, you know, Dead Space isn't necessarily... Like, Dead Space 2 wasn't necessarily going to be the hit that Mass Effect 2 definitely was.
Right, of course.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they were like, let's get some eyeballs on this game and do some interesting marketing and do this kind of stuff and see if we can get more people pulled into playing Dead Space 2.
And their motion comic series is like, cool,
yeah.
It's awesome, you know?
And that's getting a lot bigger, too. Motion comic stuff's happening more
this
and more.
This actually isn't by Prima. It's
wow.
by a company I've never heard of, who we need to now Google, called Piggyback.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Piggyback
Interactive. Never heard of them, but they make a fucking kick-ass
strategy guides.
Yeah.
Let's see who else they've done.
So while you're doing that, I was going to say that before Fable 2 came out, they released the Fable 2 pub games.
Yeah.
Which all it was like casino-style games that you could earn money in, which would carry over to your character in Fable 2.
Yeah, I remember Clayton saying he played the hell out of those.
It was so much fun. It was mindless fun. I played the shit out of it. I just, like, I don't know why there's not stuff like that for other...
No, I agree.
For other games.
It's extra. You know, I bought the Mass Effect iPhone game because I heard it had bits of story.
Yeah.
Never beat it because it was the worst.
It was
thing.
Terrible, but I still loved it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there were bits, and it was, you know, even though it had, like, my least favorite character.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, like...
These guys have been around a long time.
Really? I'm a freaking idiot then. Cause...
Metal Gear Solid, Silent Hill, Final Fantasy VIII, Saga Frontier 2, Vagrant Story, Parasite Eve, Final Fantasy IX, The Bouncer, Gran Turismo 3, Silent Hill 2, Metal Gear Solid 2, Final Fantasy X, Kingdom Hearts, Metal Gear Solid 2, Substance, Zelda the Windwalker.
See, I wonder, this is what I wonder, those are all Japanese games, I wonder if they were strictly Japan, meaning Japanese guides.
Halo 2 is probably, Jak 3 and Halo 2 is probably the first.
The first American games. Interesting. Yeah, I wonder if,
SOCOM.
I bet you that's what happened. I bet you they made Japanese guides, they kicked ass at it, and then they moved over here.
They're all pretty regular-looking guides. Even the Dragon Age 2, when they don't show the special edition, they just show the regular cover. They did Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, too.
Do you think we're long overdue for a Parasite Eve game? Like a new one?
You know, that game was actually pretty damn good.
I really liked that game.
Uh-oh.
Assassin's Creed 2 Hardcover Collector's Edition. It's all white with the insignia. Mm. Like... on the front.
So maybe they're just starting to get into these like collector's edition.
Yeah, we should write them, say that we love them.
You do now.
Yeah.
I mean, now that you
I do, yeah. I ordered it just on like a whim because like Chrissy's like, do you want to get the guidebook? I was like, no. And then I was like, you know what? Screw it, I'll buy it. I bought that and I bought the graphic novel, which I'll review next week.
Awesome.
Dragon Age graphic novel. So. Good stuff.
Cool.
Sweet.
All right. Sweet. Well, it's a quick one today, which isn't really that quick, but it's quick for our, what we've been doing marathon sessions the past few times.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Have you guys been reading the Mass Effect comic series?
Yeah, I'm on number 3.
Yeah, it came out like
this
Wednesday
2 weeks ago.
Cool. I actually haven't.
Oh.
I
haven't read 3 yet, I just read 1 so far.
They're not really like, because it's only 4, right?
Yeah, there's one more book.
Like, I was really expecting to learn a lot more, and other than learning why his eyes glow, we haven't really learned anything about the elusive man.
The first series, though, did a pretty good job of, like, filling some gaps in between.
Well, this one, I mean, okay, so, without ruining anything, this one, the first one, you find out he's, like, a rebellion fighter for humans, like, the elusive man, in the first book.
Yeah.
And then him and his friend go and basically find an artifact, right? And touch it.
Yeah, I think so. That's all I know. That's all I read.
Okay, and they touch it, and they get zapped. And his friend turns into this weird mutant, and the elusive man just has glowy eyes and some kind of power. And then the...
Yeah, but that could mean something by the end of the third one.
Read the third one. That's what I'm saying.
But, I mean, by the end of the third game, that's why we're going to...
Right. But like, I guess that could mean something. I just thought that I was going to actually learn something about the elusive man. Unless the last book is 50 pages long,
sure.
Like, they're running out of time to teach me anything at this point, and I don't feel like I'm learning anything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, the first one, like, if that's any, like, the first, like, 4-book series, if that's any, like,
benchmark. The one about... What's her name?
Yeah, the one about Liara is just going to kind of, like... It's just going to enrich your experience. You know what I mean?
I know. I just wanted a little bit more, Scott.
Because the Shadow... Like,
just disappointed.
The Shadowbreaker DLC, like, kind of, like, heavily depends on what happened in that comic book series to make it all make sense.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it made sense without it for me.
But I'm saying, like, it adds value
right.
to that story. The two add value to each other.
I just feel like we don't learn... I thought we'd learn some more about, like, motives, even.
Oh, sure.
Like, I don't feel like we're even learning about motives. I feel like all we're learning about is, like...
Glowy eyes.
Yeah. You know?
Well, this was a... Not to spend an hour on this, back when we first started talking about this comic book series, I was like, I'm a little disappointed that they're going to reveal so much about him in comic book form, because I want to learn all about him in the game. And you're like, well, you're not going to!
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that, but I was like...
Sure, I sounded exactly like that. And then I probably called you an old man.
You probably did. Yes. So, I'm kind of glad they don't reveal too much in comic book form, because I'd rather see... big elusive man reveals like with Martin Sheen and Jennifer Hale and like the actual cast, because that's like, you know, they're fucking great actors, so I want to see it rather than read it, you know.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So. Cool.
Disagreed.
Disagreed.
Point. Right. Counterpoint.
Well, that's it. This is episode 20. And, yeah. That's about it, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
See you next week.
Episode 20.
Peace.